Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone, it's caught! Touchdown! Oh my God!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Welcome back for hour number three of Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And stay tuned after our show. You've got Cam Stewart along with George Kurtz. I'm sure they'll be talking lots of betting action. What do you got planned for us today there, George?
Indeed, we'll go with the betting slate for baseball, hockey, NCAA tournament. Cam's always big on the golf. He likes to play his DFS golf, so we'll be talking that as well. I said big sports day today. Big sports day. Mm-hmm. So we'll go with lineups, the early lineups that'll be in today for the 1 o'clock games. Should be a big day.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Looking forward to listening to that. The news broke, and I don't know if you were surprised at all about the announcement from Gronkowski retiring. Almost feels like it was the worst kept secret in football. Do you think that he knew that the Super Bowl was going to be his last game, or do you think he actually took the time to contemplate whether or not he wanted to come back for the Patriots there, Rob Gronkowski, George?
I think he probably knew but wanted to take the time to make sure. I think that was a smart thing to do, extremely smart. Mm-hmm. Do I think Gronk could still play? Sure. But I think Gronk also realizes he took a lot of hits. He's the kind of guy, he's like every time he gets tackled, it's a hit. Yeah, it's never an easy tackle because of the way his body is. Yeah, he's a big target for these players, these defensive players, and his body was starting to break down. He's only 29. Mm-hmm. He's had all these injuries. I think he knows he's made his money. I think he's also very well aware that he has a future at the football. Yeah, whether it'll be, you mentioned wrestling, it'll be in acting. Do I think he could be some type of broadcaster? I do. I don't think it would be as a game caller, Tony Romo, Jason Witten, before he came back, something like that. I think it might be a studio show, if he wants to be that kind of informative and do that kind of homework. But I think he understands it's what he loved playing. It wasn't worth what his body was going through. And he wants to make sure he can live a life after football. So I actually applaud Gronkowski for what he's done. I think he knew it. He goes out on top, one of the best tight ends ever. Good for him.
And that being said, what about his agent saying that, hey, it wouldn't shock him if Gronk ends up having a change of heart? What do you think the chances are? And it happens with so many athletes, where, after a while, you're like, what am I doing here? I'm just walking around my house. But you did mention that he does have a bright future. After football, it's always been talk about him. He's a big WWE fan. He's always showing up at these pay-per-views. He was Mike Blewett had mentioned, yes, maybe he'll team up with The Rock in an action movie. Seems like a natural fit for him as a movie action star. But what do you think the chances are of him end up coming back later in the season?
Oh, it's funny. The Rock is the one who was trying to tell him you should retire and become an action movie star. That was actually The Rock was one of the people who told him that. what are the odds of him coming back? Well, Witten just did it, right? You realize he wasn't a good announcer. You know, he's getting paid well to do it. Wasn't a good announcer on Monday Night Football, so he came back to the Cowboys. Now Witten may also feel a year off his body feels as well. Gronk could feel the same way. You know, come November, you know what? I didn't have to go through training camp. I didn't get hit for the first 10 games of the season. Body feels good. Tom Brady makes a phone call. You know, would it shock me? No, it wouldn't shock me. You know, it wouldn't. You know, he is only 29. He's not 35. He's not 38. He's 29. Right. He'll be 30. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised, no. That being said, I think Rosenhaus has to throw it out there just to keep teams. And that's what agents do. You know, but and I think Rosenhaus, I think, was telling the truth. He didn't know what Gronk was going to do either, you know, as far as the retirement goes here. So like I said, I wouldn't be shocked, but I wouldn't expect it either.
Right. So what do you think this is that this means for the Patriots? I mean, you know, did they look – I mean, because, you know, not only was a Gronk, you know, a favorite receiving target for Tom Brady, and I know that, you know, his numbers kind of tailed off a little bit over the past couple of years. You know, we saw flashes of his, you know, the old Gronk in the playoffs this year. But what do you think it means for the Patriots going forward, you know, in this draft? You know, I mean, do they look to replace – you know, him with another tight end? I mean, because Gronk was unique in terms of, not unique, but he was very good at protecting Brady. He was a very good blocker as well as a pass catcher.
Yeah, Gronk was unique. All right, he was very unique in what he could do.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. People just look at him as the, you know, the pass catching tight end. They don't look at him as the damage he could do pass blocking. And he was very good as a pass blocker. In some ways, that might be what the Patriots miss most, his ability to protect Tom Brady. So Patriots have 12 picks in this draft. 12. 1-2, 12. They'll find a tight end. You know, they'll draft one. I think there's very little doubt about that. They'll draft a tight end. And they may draft two. Who knows? You know, so they'll look to a draft to replenish Gronk. This is a pretty strong tight end draft. Pick 32 in the first round, that could be where they take it. Because tight ends tend to fall in drafts, unless you have a super stud there. So I think that's where they'll look to replace Gronk. They'll draft their replacements. But I'm worried about Brady. I mean, the right receiver core is not very strong. Now Gronk has left. This team is changing to where it might not be a run-first team with Sony Michel. They just don't have the offensive weapons around Brady right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes when it comes to tight ends, it takes them like a year or so to get acclimated to life in the NFL. So, you know, it's fairly rare where you could get, you know, let's say draft a tight end and they, you know, fit right into a system right away. But so it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft, which is just about a little over 3 weeks away.
Three and a half weeks.
25th. Yeah, yeah.
Three
Nashville,
and a half weeks.
Nashville. Great party town, Nashville.
Tight end is not an easy position to learn. So to your point, I don't know who they bring in that's going to all of a sudden turn things around immediately. That's not going to happen. It's going to be tough for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. What'd you think about the news that Greg Schiano resigning as the Patriots defensive coordinator? Now, there's speculation that, you know, the Belichick might end up taking, you know, some more, you know, interest in the defensive scheme. Obviously, he came up as a defensive coordinator, big-time defensive coordinator for the Giants. It's almost like karma could be a bitch, right, Belichick? The football gods getting back to Belichick when he resigned as the Jets head coach after Dave wrote his resignation on a napkin.
Well, that's not what happened here, but something happened. All right, don't kid yourself. This is all. I want to spend more time with my family. Yeah, okay. That's PR stuff. Something happened here. I don't know if he did he get caught in something where they're just trying to save face here? He'll be out of the public's eye for a little bit. Did Belichick and him not get along? But something happened. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what it is, but something happened. There's more to this story, and we'll wait to see what happens here. But I'm not buying this. I want to spend more time with my family crap.
Yeah, maybe he's just a family guy, you know, a religious kind of guy that just needs to.
This is not the first year he's been a coach in football, okay? All of a sudden he wants to be a family guy, especially now during the offseason when not much is going on here. My thoughts are. My thoughts are generally in this type of situation, yeah, he wants to spend time with his family because he did something to hurt the family. Like, maybe we sleep with people he shouldn't be sleeping with. That's the first thing that came to my mind here when I heard this, that he, now he's going to try to save his marriage. But like I said, that's just me. I have heard nothing about what this possibly could be. But I once again, I am not buying this. I want to spend time with my family. I think that's crap.
All right. That's fair enough. And who knows? You could be right. You never know what happens here. It could be like a little PR spin on his part, begging forgiveness from his family for his transgressions. But you never know. Don't want to overthink this either. But so what did you think about the trade of Jordan Howard to the Eagles? Jordan Howard joins a lineup here basically we've talked about the Eagles in terms of their use of running backs. What do you think that this does to his fantasy value? Jordan Howard joining the Eagles, who have known to use multiple backs, are famous for the running back by committee situation.
Well, the first thought is the price is right. Right, it was a sixth round pick, conditional fifth. That it could go down to a fifth if the certain conditions are met. So the price is certainly right there. Howard's a decent running back. I don't see how he fits in that system where it's more, catching the ball. That's the one thing he doesn't do well. Doesn't catch the ball. Yeah. Obviously, there are other backs there. It's always been the knock. That's why Terry Cohen came about there. There are other backs also there where he's going to have to compete with. So it's not like he's the out-and-out starter there. He's not. Or at least, is he the first and second down guy? Then they, what are they going to do with Corey Clement, Smallwood? I mean, they got a whole bunch of backs there. So that, I think that's an issue there. Jay Ajayi is not there anymore. They don't have to worry about him. So, fantasy-wise, I think it's going to be tough. We know the name. But I don't think it's anything more than an RB2 at best. So you get Howard, Clement, Smallwood, Josh Adams, who would, at times last year, he probably gets hurt the most out of this. He's not going to be a starter. Danelle Pumphrey. A lot of backs there. A lot of cooks in the kitchen here. So I'm somewhat worried about it. Was he the first and second down guy? We pray he's the touchdown guy. Clement comes on third downs to be the pass-catching guy. It'll be interesting to see here. The good offensive line, good pass team here. He should have opportunities to succeed. So I do like Jordan Howard, but right now, early rankings, whatever, is an RB2, and probably as a mid to late RB2.
And this doesn't necessarily predict what or how Howard is going to be using, but just as a reference, Jay Ajayi, when he was traded to the Eagles back in 2017, for the games that he did play with them, he averaged 10 carries per game for the Eagles. But you don't know if that was designed because of Ajayi's, injury history, them just trying to manage him a little bit better. He's famous for the bone-on-bone issue with Ajayi. But you wonder just how many carries he's going to be getting a game with all those names that you mentioned, George.
Yeah, actually, how Doug Peterson uses his running backs, he's generally doesn't rely on one. He is a guy who likes to use everybody. All right, so I agree with you. I completely agree. You just, I'm not expecting huge things here. It's why I have him ranked as a low end running back too.
Isaiah Crowell signs a 1-year deal with the Raiders. Crowell from his days with the Browns, with the Jets. I mean, how fantasy relevant do you think he is at this stage of his career? I don't think he's that old, George.
I kind of like this move, because once again, with everything that's going on in Oakland, you think about it, Antonio Brown, right? And Tyrell Williams. This is defense is going to pay more attention to the passing game, right? I mean, I would. I think that's a natural thing. Make sure Brown's covered. Make sure they're not beating you with the long play here. Brown, Williams, Nelson. Crowell sort of sneaks under the radar here. If they can have a decent offensive line, that offensive line can be fixed somewhat here. I think Crowell has a solid season. Once again, running back two. This all changes, by the way, if Marshawn Lynch comes back, which apparently the offer's still out there, then we'll revisit this. That would hurt him tremendously. Because I think Lynch at the very least be the goal line back, and he's going to get some carries as well. That would probably kill Crowell. That might make neither one a running back two. They might both go into flex territory, running back threes. So for now, I like Crowell as a running back two, as long as Lynch doesn't come back.
Doug Baldwin in the news this week. He's already had knee and shoulder surgeries, hernia surgeries next, George. And from what I read, that's got a 6 to 8 week recovery time attached to it. Probably going to miss all of the OTAs. A couple of years ago, Baldwin, was kind of like almost like a low end wide receiver one. What do you think the prospects are for Doug Baldwin? I mean, this has got to be concerning, all these offseason surgeries for Baldwin.
Absolutely. He seems to be a definition of a player whose body's breaking down. Just can't handle the football at this point. That's the way I see it anyway. Not somebody I'm going to be drafting. I kind of feel bad for him because I like Doug Baldwin, and I feel bad for Russell Wilson. He might lose another weapon. I think Baldwin will play, but not be the player he used to be. You know, as far as game breaker, guy you can rely on here. I just don't know if he's ever going to be that player again here. Seattle, I think they're another team that I think needs to reload and give Wilson some weapons. Right now, I'm not sure he has any weapons on that team right now. So yeah, a lot of concerns here with Doug Baldwin. A lot of surgeries. I don't think he plays 16 games next season. He'll be in that wide receiver four category.
The owners had their meetings right this week in the NFL. What do you think about this? Do you have a favorite rule change that they're going over? I think one of them is that the coaches are going to have an opportunity to challenge pass interference.
I think this is a disaster waiting to happen, this pass interference one, mainly because of this, Joe. Now, I think two things come to mind. Now, I ref hockey games. I understand it's men's league. It's not professional. But there are times in a game where I'm letting certain things go, and I'm letting them go for both teams. You know, and I think the same thing happens with referees in football, you know, where they let certain things go. They're not going to call it by the rule book definition. They'll let the guys play a little bit. Well, how does that get judged in a replay? You know, also, listen, you know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Technically, everything is pass interference. Right, any kind of small push, that's pass interference. Well, how does that get called in a challenge? How are you going to write a rule that says, well, it has to be egregious. You know, it has to be really, really bad. Okay. How's that going to be written? And what's your definition of really, really bad? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm going with this? Or are you going to call it by rule book? Because by rule book definition, every challenge is going to be upheld. Because it's going to be correct. Yes, that was pass interference. On both sides, by the way. Receivers are always pushing off. Defenders always have their hands on receivers. So how the hell are you going to write this in a challenge? You know, the only way I could see this working is if one person is doing all the reviews, so they have it in their head of what is going to be it. But how do you write this out so coaches know what to challenge and what not to challenge? I don't think this is a good idea at all to be able to challenge penalties.
Great point there, George. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, continue covering a little football, then switch back over to fantasy baseball. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And we're going to get back to baseball in a few minutes, but just wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, as we get closer, like you mentioned, we're 3.5 weeks to draft time, George. Still up in the air about this whole number one pick that the Cardinals have with Kyler Murray. You know, it depends who you talk to, what articles you read. It looks like there's a good possibility that Cards might go and take Kyler Murray, unless they're just trying to play a little game there. But what do you think about Josh Rosen? Where do you what's your gut feeling about if the Cards were to trade him, where he'd go, and what would be his value in terms of, you know, for a trade? What would a team you think have to give up in order to pick up a Josh Rosen?
Well, first off, everyone's lying right now. All right? Everyone's lying. No one's telling the truth. So anybody, if you believe any of this that's going on right now, well, you know, I got a bridge I want to sell you. How about some swamp land in Florida? You know, beachfront property in Iowa. That sort of thing. Everyone's lying, trying to build up value for their pick. You know, the Cardinals, they took out Bosa. They took out Nick Bosa for a nice dinner the other night, and that's all fine and good. I mean, you think about it. I made this a reference yesterday. Remember, Brian Cash and the Yankees, they took out Machado, even though they had no interest in really signing him. They went to see, you know, wine and dine, see what would happen there, and then they never talked to him again. You know, it could be the same thing going on here. The Cardinals will let everybody know, hey, we're taking Bosa out. If you want Bosa, better start making a phone call. You know, so that sort of thing. You know, and that's all fine and good here. So like I said, everyone's lying. Cardinals, I do expect to take Kyler Murray. I do. I think they're going to trade Rosen. I think Rosen will be traded. Drafts on Thursday? I think he'll be traded on Thursday. You know, that's when he'll be dealt, because his value does go down right after they make the Kyler Murray pick. Teams will start to say, well, now you have to trade him. You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be traded.
Yeah,
you know, I think a couple of teams in the NFC East make sense. Giants make sense if they like him. You know, not that the number. I don't think they'll trade 6, but they could trade 17, maybe a second round pick, something like that. Washington at 15. They make sense as well. They're not banking on Case Keenum. Are you kidding me? What was the other guy, Colt McCoy? No. They need a quarterback as well, and they know that. Washington can't go about building the rest of their team until you have a quarterback. So I think they could make some noise. How about Denver at 10? I know Elway's saying all the right things, but I think they could be in play as well if he wants to give it a shot. I think Denver is maybe least likely, because I think Elway might be a little gun shy right now. As what, the last 98 quarterbacks he's tried to pick up after Manning didn't work out. So I think he, like I said, I think he might be a little bit gun shy here. But I look at the two New York teams, 15 and 17, Washington and the Giants here as being possible players here. Bengals, I think the price has to be right for them. Dolphins, I think, are playing more for next year's quarterback class, and they're trying to tank this year to get a top pick for that. So I don't know if they'll be in it. But I think they'll hit, you know, I think if you like Rosen, if you believed in him last year, you have to at least kick the tires here, see what the price is. Maybe it's not a first-round pick. Maybe it's a third-round pick. I don't think it is, because I think too many teams are going to be looking for him. Too many teams are going to, this is not the greatest quarterback class. So you're going to lose out on Murray. You're going to lose out on Haskins. So, you know, maybe, Locke, if you don't believe in Locke, or you lose out on him too. So these teams drafting at 15, 17. The Giants makes sense, because maybe you don't want to, assuming they like Rosen. Yeah, you know, that's a big assumption here. But they don't want to spend the 6th pick. They want to use that 6th pick on defense, you know, the best pass rusher available. Lord knows the Giants could use that. And they go, you know what, 17 now. Cardinals would take 17. You know, maybe we should. Of course, the problem is, well, Washington's at 15. Better pick. You know, they would win that. The Giants may have to give up something more. The Giants may be also thinking, two birds at one stone. You know, not only can we get Haskins if I trade, Rosen, if I trade this a 17th and a fifth round pick, but we keep away at a division rival Washington. You know, you have to look at it like that as
Excellent
well.
Excellent point. Right. Yeah.
So, and listen, Washington could be thinking the same exact thing. Let's keep away from the Giants. You know, it's a game that's being played here. It's a game of chicken. That's why everybody's lying. For all we know, the Giants hate Rosen. You know, they don't want Rosen released, but they want to make Washington pay for him. They know Washington does believe in Rosen, but let's keep building up. Oh, yeah, we know. We like Rosen. We love Rosen. Make Washington pay more. Yeah, it's all a game. This is why the draft – I'm not a college football guy. I think you know that, but I love the draft because there's so much drama. You don't know. Everyone's lying. Everyone's trying to build up their picks. There'll be a lot of trades that'll go down. There's a lot of intrigue. Oh, you know, will the Cardinals take Murray? Or do they believe in Rosen? They're going to take Bosa. Or they trade down. You know, they go, hey, we're going to stay with Rosen, but we'll trade down to someone who does want Kyler Murray. You know, we'll trade it, and we'll get extra picks here. You know, it's great. It's great, great theater. We know the Jets have told us pretty much straight out they want to trade down from number 3. So that'll be interesting to watch there. What the hell does Oakland do? Oakland has 3 first-round picks? 3! Yeah. What do they do? You know, have they been lying to us, Joe? oh, we love Derek Carr, franchise quarterback. Maybe they.
Not the Raiders. Sucks. They wouldn't lie to us.
No. John Gruden is always the most. Then again, Gruden thinks everybody's great. So, it's the NFL draft is great theater. You know, that's the Thursday and the Friday night. I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch here. I think there's pretty much any possibility. But if you're asking me, I do expect the Cardinals to take Murray. I think Murray goes number one to the Cardinals. Bosa goes number two to the 49ers. And then life gets really interesting after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like everything that you said, and it's very interesting. Let's say if the Giants could pull off a trade for Rosen, right? I mean, that would mean that they'd get, you know, obviously Saquon as a first-round pick from last year, and they'd have Rosen, who was also taken in the first round. And in a way, you kind of alluded to it, supposedly next season's quarterback class is stronger than this one. And, of course, last year the quarterback class was tremendous. But, you know, think about it. I mean, let's say if they do make this trade for Rosen and things don't work out and the Giants are terrible again, which they probably are going to have a losing record. They have a strong quarterback class from which to pick, another quarterback from. But, you know, what worries me is that, you know, Saquon Barkley, I know he's very young, and we've mentioned this before in terms of, you know, the sands running down that hourglass because, you know, running backs typically don't have a very long career. But so do you think that Rosen, let me ask you two questions about Rosen. Do you think, you know, he seems to have like this chip on the shoulder, which I don't really dislike. I mean, to be a leader on a team, you have to have some self-confidence. But how do you think that would play in New York? And if they made the trade, do you think that he would step in from day one and be the Giants' starting quarterback? Would there be a competition in camp? Or might he benefit from, you know, let's say a quarter of the season of hanging out on the sidelines and learning at the feet of Eli Manning?
All right, a lot of interesting questions there. I do believe that let's just say the Giants, they acquire Rosen. Doesn't matter what the price is. They acquire Rosen. I don't think he'll start right away. No, I don't. I think it'll be Eli Manning tutoring him for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Now, we all know what happened last time, right? When they pulled Manning, and pulling Manning was the right thing to do. They just should not have done it for Geno Smith. A failure.
Right.
That was what the problem was in my mind. I think Eli Manning, he's done. Yep. You know, he is what he is. But they pulling him for Geno Smith was silly, who's, you know, a nobody. Pulling him for Rosen would be different. This is a first-round pick, a guy who has a future. And if I'm the Giants, I probably want to find out this season as far as, move him along here. Giants, it's funny. I was enjoying, I thought the Giants were having a good offseason right up until they traded Beckham. You know, and I sort of get it with Beckham. I think it's a tough call either way. I do. He's a malcontent. He's a problem. You know, he says one thing, does another. I get all that. But he's immense talent. Immense talent. Mm-hmm. Now your offense is completely different without him. Giants, to have a successful season this year, depending on how you judge success, if you're judging by win-loss, that's going to be tough because that defense is a sieve. And they're going to give up a lot of points. But I might judge it. Are you heading in the right direction? In other words, if that quarterback, you grab that quarterback, whether it be Rosen, Haskins, Locke, whoever, you know, if you have your franchise quarterback, well, then you're heading in the right direction, success.
Right.
You need a quarterback to win in the NFL. So I think it depends on how you judge that there. But I think Eli Manning starts, no matter what they do, I think Eli Manning starts the season. You know, and I expect him to start probably half the season. I think the second half is where you think, okay, now it might be Rosen time. You start to ease Eli out, especially if they are 3-5 and see them slipping away anyway. If they're 6-2, this is, once again, this is completely different again. But I don't expect that to happen as far as being 6-2. So I think they'll. I think Eli starts no matter what, and then they'll ease in the quarterback after that. Now, if it's a rookie quarterback, then I think we're probably looking more towards the last quarter of the season, not the last half.
Yeah. How do you think his attitude plays in New York? I mean, you just worry about, you know, like I said, I like spunk from someone that's going to lead my team. I just don't want him to become this guy that's going to be plastered over the back pages of the, you know, the Daily News and the New York Post in New York. And, you know, we already had a player like that who you alluded to in OBJ.
You know, you want your quarterback to be confident, strong. I don't know about Baker Mayfield. That he goes a little overboard with what he does. You know, I don't know if I want my quarterback to be that kind of guy, but you want to be, you don't want the strong, silent type. You need to have that era of that, hey, I'm great. Screw everybody else. I'm better than you. You know, the FU kind of guy, mm-hmm. which I do kind of like. So you want mm-hmm. that sort of mix there. Now, a Baker Mayfield type would have a tough time in New York because the media would look, they'd be going after him. So that's the hard mm-hmm. thing here. You know, so I think of Rosen being, I don't mind being brash, being self-confident. Just be careful in the media. Listen, if the Giants made a move for Rosen, he'll be taught how to talk to the media. You know, they'll mm-hmm. have people mm-hmm. teaching. The Giants know this. You got to be careful. You don't want to antagonize the media. You don't want to challenge them. If you challenge mm-hmm. them, you're going to lose. You can't beat the New York media. They can't beat the media. The media will win every time. So mm-hmm. you be careful here, but I'm not all that worried about it. I think that would be the least of my concerns about Josh Rosen coming to New York.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff from our man, George Kurtz. Touched upon this, earlier, teased it a little bit about Patrick Mahomes, you know, in terms of, you know, I was starting to warm up to the idea that, you know, I'm a guy that I think you're the same. You know, we wait on quarterbacks and drafts and, you know, we're far away from draft season, but not really. I mean, we just try to, you know, keep our head in the game, right? So, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, In some leagues, you know, I wouldn't mind taking Mahomes earlier than I normally would. I mean, I'll never take a quarterback in the first round, but, you know, maybe a third, fourth round if he's there. And it depends who you're drafting with, whether or not he would be there. But this whole situation with Tyreek Hill, where he's under investigation by the NFL and the Chiefs aren't saying what they would do in terms of, you know, if he would be charged with a crime. So, but I guess, worst case scenario, if there's a situation where Tyreek Hill is suspended, what do you think this does to Mahomes' fantasy value and just his real life performance on the field? I mean, look, yeah, they still would have Sammy Watkins, right? You know, they still got one of the best, if not the best, tight end in Travis Kelce around. But how much of a blow do you think that would be in terms of, potentially losing Tyreek Hill?
Well, for those who haven't heard, and if you haven't, you've been pretty much living under a rock or in a cave. Hill's being investigated for child abuse. His son ended up with a broken arm. There have been some allegations made, mm-hmm. and away we go here. This has been going on for about 2.5-3 weeks now, and it's been very quiet. Very quiet, which is kind of strange here. Why has it been so quiet? You know the media is digging into this, and they why haven't they found out what's going on here? If it turns out to be true, Hill's career may be over. This is not his first transgression with this. You know, he had a problem back in college, too, with DV. So I don't see how he can come back from this. I mean, I know he's young. You know, you think Ray Rice, he never came back from his, but he was old. Yeah. He was older and there was video. You know, we don't think there's video here, but now you're talking about a child, a three-year-old child whose arm was broken. Man, he certainly wouldn't play this year. I'd have a hard time seeing that if this is true. We don't know if it is. We don't know really what's happening here. So if you're looking for value down the line here as far as Mahomes, I mean, Watkins has really failed to be a number one in several places. Now he's more of a complimentary number two. Kelce is great. Mm-hmm. But there'll be some additional pressure on him because, once again, Tyreek Hill makes that offense go because you have to have safety over the top of him or else he's gone. Man's fast. You know, a man's fast and he can catch. And if you don't have a safety over the top, he's gone. He's history. You know, so it'll have a major effect on the offense. You can't tell me otherwise. So Mahomes would feel it. I think he'd absolutely feel it. Also change the Chiefs offseason game plan here. It may have changed their game plan right now. They may have taken a receiver first round to cover themselves because this may not be decided by the draft in three-plus weeks. You know, we may not know mm-hmm. the conclusion of what's going on with Tyreek Hill. So I think it has a major effect right now. Listen, the bottom line is you hope the child's okay and the child's safe.
Absolutely.
That's the child needs.
Sure.
But, you know, fantasy-wise, which is what our job is, yeah, it has an effect right now. If we're drafting right now, and if you're drafting right now, you're drafting way too early. Boy, drafting I don't know. I believe in waiting on quarterbacks anyway, so it doesn't really hurt me. Mahomes will still go before I'm willing to go to grab him, so it won't matter. But Tyreek Hill is an issue. He's a second-round pick right now that I'm not – you know me. I'm conservative. I'm not taking any chances that he gets suspended.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would never.
No, thank you. Right. Right. So I'll let him be someone else's problem. Let someone else worry about it here. Because if he's involved in this in any way, even if he didn't do the damage, if he's in any kind of cover-up or anything like that, he's going to get suspended. It's just a matter of is it two games, four games. If he's directly involved, you're not seeing him in 2019.
Yeah.
In your career as a fantasy football player, what's the earliest that you could recall? I don't expect you to remember every single draft that you've done, but what's the earliest that you recall taking a quarterback in a draft?
Oh, God, I've been playing fantasy football for almost over 30 years now. Now, generally, one quarterback leagues. If you're talking a two-quarterback league or even a super flex league, that changes things dramatically. I've taken quarterbacks in the first round in those leagues. But as far as a one-quarterback league, quarterback is so deep. I mean, we generally be playing 12-team leagues. You have more than 12 good quarterbacks. You can wait.
Yeah.
I'm waiting till round 8, round 9. That's not to say I wouldn't draft them a Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers. If they're there in round 5 where the value is just falling so much, then I can see myself pulling the trigger. But other than that, Joe, I'm waiting forever.
There you go. Good stuff from George Kurtz. When we come back, we'll go back to talking a little fantasy baseball. Some of the lineups are being announced for today. We'll be back with more.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz and Sean Engel, producing our show and getting us to the finish line in what is the final segment of the show. And, I guess because, George and I are not in the shape that we used to be, we need to be running in slow motion. A little Chariots of Fire bringing us back.
Hated that movie. We sucked.
Never saw it.
You didn't miss anything.
See it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like Vangelis. God. It was the artist that I love that, that song. But I have to be in the right mood.
I can't
for
tell
it,
you what made me see it. Yeah. Oh God, it's so forever ago.
Who was she? No, you can't tell.
Can't tell you. No. By the way, Jeff McNeil out of the lineup today for the Mets. I guess four hits yesterday wasn't enough to put him in the lineup again. Wilson Ramos also out of the lineup for the Mets. Once again, you're going to see a lot of catchers that won't play on Sundays. That's nothing nothing new here. And right now the tarp is on the field at Yankee Stadium for those that are heading out to the ballpark. The game is expected to be played, but you may be getting a little wet there. So good luck to you. New York, it's supposed to rain later on today. Tarp still on the field. It's only 10:45. They wouldn't take it off yet anyway. But no McNeil, no Ramos, and we'll have more guys between the end of this show and the next show. We'll have more guys that are out of your lineup today. It's Sunday, a day of rest.
There you go. Good stuff from George. Yeah, I'm really hoping that they play this full game. The Yankees, like I said, DFS, I like a Yankee stack against Dylan Bundy today. And the Yankee lineup does have Greg Bird, who left the power-hitting stroke against Dylan Bundy. I think he's got a good shot at hitting a home run.
Tulo's out today.
Yeah. So Glaber,
first, I think the Yankee lineup will be better with Tulo out of the lineup. Torres at shortstop, LeMahieu at second. I also think LeMahieu should bat first. Gardner, I don't know why Boone keeps going back to Gardner. You're worried about the one lefty you have? Bat him ninth. You know, put LeMahieu first. LeMahieu's the better hitter at this point. There's no way LeMahieu should be batting ninth. Or put Torres first. My God, he's a better hitter as well. I mean, why are you batting Torres eighth? Over a long season, you have Torres batting eighth. He's going to lose about 80 at-bats over Gardner. Yeah, that's silly. Mm-hmm. That's just silly. I mean, you're playing losing baseball there. I don't understand what Boone's doing here. It's not like you don't need to pay deference for Gardner. I wouldn't have brought Gardner back personally. But I said I don't understand that with the Yankees. But, yeah, no Troy Tulowitzki today either, if you were thinking about putting him in your lineup. And if you were, well, you probably have other issues. Miguel Cabrera, by the way, is in the lineup. And there were some thoughts that he might be out today.
Encouraging,
He had a little examination yesterday, but he's fine. So he's in the lineup there. Mm-hmm. So you're good there. I'm looking at other lineups there. Starling Marte will make his season debut today. He missed opening day because of a migraine. Yesterday was rained out. Starling Marte is in the lineup today and batting second for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Cincinnati Reds look like they have their usual lineup there. Puig, Zenit, Kemp, Suarez, Votto, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, lineups are slowly but surely coming in here, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you like? You have to like what the Nationals did with Robles. You know, if he wasn't going to be batting at the top of the lineup, you know, you got Eaton first, Turner second. And by the way, Turner, man, three stolen bases opening day. So maybe the Nationals were lying about those. What would they say? They wanted him to run upwards of, you know, steal upwards of 70 bases. But you got to like Robles batting ninth instead of eighth and being part of that little, you know, click with Eaton and Turner after that. I mean, of course, based on what you said about Torres with, you know, losing 80 at-bats, you know, batting at the bottom of the lineup, but, you know, you'd kind of prefer him to bat ninth and eighth, no, in terms of Victor Robles?
Once again, you'll lose at-bats. You know, it's not a huge, it's about 20, 25 at-bats he'll lose batting ninth rather than eighth over a long season here. For speed, it makes a little bit more sense because if your speed bats eighth, he's not going to run with two outs and the pitcher up next. He just knocks you. You want to clear that pitcher. So that's the issue there. So it can work out somewhat there. I sort of get it in that situation, but generally I don't like it. I'd rather have, guys bat where they should bat. You want those at-bats. He has power. Mm-hmm. You know, those 20 at-bats, that might be two home runs you're taking away from him there. It's probably at least one. So I don't like it. Ian Desmond also out of the lineup today for the Colorado Rockies. The aforementioned, you and I talked about him earlier, Raimel Tapia. He's in playing left field today. This probably has more to do with the fact that the Miami Marlins are throwing Sandy Alcantara today, hard-throwing right-hander, give Desmond a day off. I sort of get that there. So that doesn't bother me all that much. And
Hampson's out of the lineup, right? You got Ryan McMahon at second, and you have Mark Reynolds at first for the Rockies as well. So looks like that's going to be a fluid situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's maybe Murphy being out doesn't help us there as far as McMahon and Hampson. I would have thought it would have, especially once again, same thing, hard throwing right hand. I don't know what Reynolds is going to do against them. For Houston, no Brantley today. And this is something I worried about him, that they're going to manage him somewhat this year to try and keep him healthy, a guy who's always banged up. Brantley's out today. Altuve's DHing, and the outfield's Reddick, Marisnik, and George Springer. Which is kind of strange because I think we heard that Springer was originally supposed to get today off. So that's changed. Now Brantley has the day off, not Springer there. What else we got here?
Correa batting cleanup.
Yes, Correa has returned batting cleanup. Shortstop for Houston. Good news there. Hopefully he's over that injury. We'll look at the Washington Nationals and New York Mets. Nationals, look, they have their normal lineup there. Once again, you already said it. Corbin batting eighth, Robles ninth. St. Louis Cardinals have released their lineup. Milwaukee Brewers have not. Cardinals' Jose Martinez in the lineup today playing right field. You know, no Dexter Fowler, which really, for my mind, is probably how it should be most of the time. I think that's their best lineup, by the way, is getting Dexter Fowler out. Other than that, it looks pretty straightforward there. Royals, Merrifield's playing, Mondesi's playing. So you get your speed if you're going for that. O'Hearn's playing with some power there. So a pretty standard lineup for the Royals. And again, I don't know how much we're dying to get any of these players in our lineup unless you want stolen bases.
Yeah, that's the key when it comes to the Royals. And I'm seeing that the Brewers just released their lineup. Kane, Yelich, Ryan Braun, Shaw, Aguiar, Moustakas, Hernan Perez at short, Manny Pena at catcher. So no Yasmani Grandal. And like you said,
Sunday day off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Ryan Braun, supposedly I saw that tweet where he has made some tweaks to his swing. So, hey, I kind of have ignored him, to tell you the truth, over recent years, but he still has been putting up some decent numbers. I ignored him after that whole steroid issue, not because, you know, I'm holier than thou and I can't take steroids, but he threw an underling under the bus in that situation. But yeah, he's putting up some decent numbers.
Right.
He's scum. Yeah. So you agree.
What he? I don't even say that as a joke. He's scum for what he did.
He's my
number one as far as baseball player. A-Rod would be number two. He didn't throw it under. He threw a normal guy, a guy working for FedEx, under the bus.
That's
right. Accused this guy of that he just changed the results and he was the one who was trying to set me up. And then, you know, everything's okay. You know, I did it. The guy lost his job. You're scum. You're absolute scum. I hope that guy took it for every dime he could. You know, so it's amazing though, right? Players and all these, they're all innocent until they're found guilty, and then you know I didn't do it. Oh yeah, I did it. You know, and then it's everyone else's fault but theirs. You know, I don't know how it got in. I don't know how it got in my food. I don't know how it got in my drink. I don't know how it got in my body. No idea. Wasn't me. You know, it's amazing. A lot of weird things happen to baseball players and football players for that matter. No one ever does it on purpose.
Yeah, it's just an accident. The label, it was mislabeled. Right, I got it at GNC.
Yeah, sorry, Your Honor, I accidentally stabbed my wife in the back 12 times. It happens. Shit happens.
First 11, maybe that was planned, but the 12th, no.
It's that 12th that push you over, right? Yeah, it's always the 12th.
All right, so we were looking at some box scores. Maybe in the remaining time, we'll keep an eye on any lineups, any new lineups that come out. Keep you informed about that. But what do you think about the Dodgers this year? They seem to have, early on found some power bats. Yesterday they beat the Diamondbacks 18-5. A lot of home runs hitting this game. Bellinger with his second. Barnes hitting a home run. It's encouraging to see, Corey Seager, who coming back from Tommy John surgery. Looks like he's going to be fine.
Yeah, looks good so far. I mean, you said the Dodgers found their power bats. You know, Dodgers finished second to the Yankees in home runs last year, so this is not a shock.
Yeah, you wouldn't think,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought. You're right. Not know that until I saw the stuff. Like, wow, Dodgers. You always think an American League team. You would have thought Boston, you know, was a team like that, a power hitting team. I would not have thought Dodgers. I don't know if they would have been the first five teams I would have guessed as far as the number two behind the Yankees last year. But hey, they were. So they can hit home runs. They can hit them in bunches, and they're crushing the Arizona Diamondback pitching staff. So good for them. You want to get Dodgers in your lineup? I have no issues with that. You know, they're a hot team. Fan DFS-wise, I think they're a team you have to look at, right? Yeah, I think you should look at. I think you'd be probably silly not to look at. Luke Weaver was making his first off Arizona today. So we'll see how that goes. Luke Weaver is a hard-throwing pitcher that they got in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. So I'm actually curious to watch this game. Diamondbacks and Dodgers, because I want to watch both pitchers. I want to see how Weaver pitches in his first start for Arizona, and Walker Buehler's going for the Dodgers, right? This guy's so valued, third-round pick in fantasy drafts. Yeah. As pretty much a low-end SP1, top-end SP2, so let's see what this kid can do.
I was a little nervous about Buehler, though, in terms of when it came out that he just wasn't feeling right. And they pretty much weren't really specific about it. You know, I mean, he had didn't get in game action in the spring till very late. Did that trouble you, or do you have shares of him?
I have no shares of him. I don't think one. You know, so obviously I felt the same as you. You know how I feel. You know, the fact that he's, we haven't seen it yet. He might have an innings limit. He might have a pitch count, you know, and he's never done it before for a full season. And he was going in the third round. My God, there were other pitchers there. I'd rather have Blake Snell, you know, and other guys like that. Guys who have done it, and I've seen do it, and I have more trust in. Not that I hear anything negative about Buehler. I think he is going to be great, but I couldn't pull the trigger in the third round.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. And this Dodger game yesterday, Kenta Maeda, 6.2 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, gets the win, 6 Ks, 2 walks. Ugh, Zach Godley, man. This guy, I drafted him in one league real late, thinking that maybe he could bounce back a little bit. But
same here.
5.1 innings pitched, 7 earned runs, 2 walks. What are we thinking about Godley? I mean, it's one start, but yeah, I was just hoping for better.
I think everything he says right. It's one start. Yeah. I'm not going to panic. He may have run into a buzzstorm with Dodgers right now, but I drafted him late in the league as well, hoping that, you know, hey, things would go better. And obviously that pretty much sucked yesterday. You know, any way you look at it, that didn't go well at all. Some more accounting news here. If you're playing a deep, deep league here, Garrett Cooper of the Miami Marlins going on with DL, and this DL could be a longer stint here. They're calling up one ex-Yankee gets called up for another. Pete O'Brien will make being called up to replace him on the roster here. Pete O'Brien is sort of your poor man's Peter Alonso for the Mets. Guy, a lot of power, no position to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, two former Yankees. Yes, so let's take a look at Brewers beat the Cardinals yesterday 4-2. Dakota Hudson was a guy that late in spring training was announced as a member of the St. Louis starting rotation. I have him on, I think, two leagues. 4.1 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 6 Ks. Gave up 3 home runs, though, George.
Yeah, it's not the same as you. I have him in, two leagues as well. Picked him up late. It's another situation. Listen, Miller Park's another bandbox. Ball flies out there, and this didn't hit. So I don't want to penalize him too much for that. So I'm not going to panic on Hudson with one. Not the greatest game yesterday. Like I said, I think that's more of a situation of tough place. Tough place to make your season debut here. And he didn't get crushed. Yeah, I mean, yes, he pounced with a long ball, which is not surprising. You know, so he didn't get crushed. Let's see how he continues to do here. You know, I think he'll get better. I do think he'll get better. So I'm not overly concerned yet. But, you know, I would have liked to have seen better. But I'm not going to, once again, not hitting the panic button yet.
Right. Colton Wong, 3-for-3 yesterday for the Cardinals. What do you think about Colton Wong? I mean, he's a guy that, never really fulfilled his potential. I mean, at this stage, what are we waiting for from Colton Wong?
He's hot. You want to take him as a middle infielder and go for it and ride the hot streak? Go ahead. You know, he's probably more of a DFS play for me. I will certainly look at him today because of what's going on there. It's not like the Brewers are ever going to throw great starting pitching at you in a game here. So I think this could be another decently high-scoring game between the Brewers and Cardinals. We got Michael Walker versus Corbin Burns. Burns is another player to watch, by the way. You mentioned Hudson. Burns, Hudson, Woodruff, and this whole series. These are all guys I want to see play. Burns I picked up in a couple of leagues as well. Picked him up late. See what happens here. You know, I like to do this because he's a guy, I didn't draft him, I dropped somebody else that I didn't care about, picked up Burns, picked up Woodruff, picked up Hudson. See if he got lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. I understand I probably don't, but what the hell? I had nothing to lose here. Let's see what I got.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody quickly that you're targeting in DFS in terms of, you know, pitchers that you're looking to take advantage of today?
Listen, I think J.A. Happ is someone you're looking at. I mentioned there's rain in the forecast for the Yankees and D.C., and I bring that up because with pitchers, I always worry about there's a rain delay in the third inning. They don't come back. But now it looks like as far as the Yankees and D.C. are concerned, if the rain is there, it'll be to delay the start of the game, not delayed during the game.
Great stuff from George Kurtz. Great stuff from the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, producing our show. Doing a great job, as always. Thanks for tuning in. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Stay tuned for Cam Stewart and George Kurtz.